Good people. It's a Duffy's MVP Monday. It is that time of the day. The happy hour has begun. We got C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. It's a victory Monday for he and his Ravens. Seems like it's always a victory Monday for myself and the Kansas City Chiefs. And the only other person in this room with an undefeated team. Oh, that's Tina in the Wild. What's happening with you?
What is up? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Tina in the Wild is in her zebra spirit today. She has a zebra printed dress, which I thought was more Bengal, more white tiger, but apparently you looked it up and it is a zebra.
Yes, we had to go to where I bought the dress and it says it is zebra print.
Yes. So, okay.
You know.
All right.
That's what it is.
I'll ride with the manufacturer.
I'm open to, like, the tiger was good too. Yeah. You know, whatever.
A white
works.
Tiger, yeah.
I just felt like I saw this dress and I go, I have to get this. Like, this it goes with the brand. Like, I have to get this dress.
Yes.
And George the Jungle, yeah.
No, I hate you.
Is that a part of it? Is that a part of your brand as well now that you're doing a lot of Tina in the Wild and the zoo stuff? You're leaning in.
Yeah,
all the way through.
Tina likes to, like, kill animals then use their fur. Yeah, it's kind of her look.
Well, I can confirm this is not probably what zebras feel like, this fabric that I'm wearing right now.
No.
But it was like just the pattern goes with Tina in the Wild.
It makes sense.
Yes.
It absolutely makes sense. We'll ride with that on a Monday following another great weekend. Of course, if you hop on our chat on YouTube at Theo Speaking, we stream live on YouTube as well as on Twitter at ESPN West Palm. You can see the zebra printed dress. You can see the face of C-Cat, who is now feeling what it feels to be in the winner's circle. And you can also see the many questions we have, including from Anna, who says, Bubba, are you ready for Tina? And Bubba's always ready for Tina here on Theoretically Speaking. So it's that time of the day. You need to prepare yourselves. I think Dolphins fans all throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast and nationwide, as you're tapping in here on Theoretically Speaking, prepare yourselves to either be floored or be filled with optimism. Because the reason why we have happy hour with Tina is because she is the happiest, most joyful, most optimistic person that we know here at ESPN West Palm. In fact, she's been considered by some on this show the Patrick Mahomes of ESPN West Palm.
Yes.
Head always up. Mm-hmm. Always taking accountability. Always focused on the winning goal at hand. She has a Dolphins take to get off. She texted us this at 6:30 a.m. So being that you're as optimistic and happy as you are, either this is going to be that one ray of sunshine that Dolphins fans can hear that'll make them cling to hope. Or if you're hearing anything negative about the Dolphins from Tina, then you just need to know it's real.
Yes.
It needs to sink in with you. So we're going to get to that. But the question of the day has been, who, through these 3 weeks of the NFL or the 4 weeks of college football, who has been the greatest, single greatest, most uplifting offseason addition to their football squad? And it doesn't have to just be an addition. Maybe it's a reinvestment into a player that's already in your locker room. Who has been the best offseason transaction so far? It's early on, but I've already told y'all, Sam Darnold is the clear-cut leader in the clubhouse for this one. The way that he has kept this Vikings offense afloat, he's looked better this year with the Vikings than Kirk Cousins did last year. And that's saying something, because Kirk Cousins is a guy that went on the open market and got $100 million guaranteed following his performance with Minnesota. And Sam Darnold doing it without Jordan Addison to this date. That dude looks good. He looks primed to have the Vikings as a playoff team, and we called it this offseason. But another team that can feel good about the investment they made this offseason based on what they've looked without that investment, it is your Miami Dolphins. Because, my God, if there hasn't been a team that looked more lethargic, more pathetic, more just incapable of playing football on a professional level than the Dolphins did against the Seattle Seahawks without Tua Tagovailoa, I mean, I haven't seen it. Maybe it was the Panthers before they brought in the Red Rocket, because the Dolphins couldn't move the ball an inch with Tua not behind center out there for Miami. They couldn't do so against the Seattle team that's still, you know, they're undefeated. They're a well-coached team with Mike McDonald, who also should be a favorite as a person that is a huge offseason addition. But there was a lot of consternation. There was a lot of questioning the fact that Tua Tagovailoa didn't deserve as much money as he got. $50-plus million dollars a year, $200 million contract, $212 if you count it all up, not including the guarantees, and $167 million guaranteed. So many people thought that was an overpay for Tua. Let's not forget, last year Tua led the league in passing. he helped the Dolphins to a playoff appearance. And this year, without Tua, and in the years we've seen before, the Dolphins' offense looks inept. And also, Tyreek Hill and Tua and Jalen Waddle, two guys that are heavily invested in fantasy football, as well as the two key cogs of this Dolphins' offense, they were reinvested in as well. They got their big payday. Yeah, they were invisible out there without Tua slinging in the rock. I know he's injured right now. I know we don't know what his future holds, but the Dolphins could at least feel good about, hey, Tua earned that contract, and we paid him rightfully so, because without him, we look like absolute crap. I mean, Tina, I know you're about to deliver your Dolphins take, which is so heavily coveted because, again, I want people to have that glimmer of hope if it is one. Just tell me this. Before we get to your Dolphins take, is it positive or is it more in line with what I'm saying right there?
It's more in line with what you're saying.
Oh, that sucks.
I text you guys breaking news. Yeah. Like, I think if I'm coming with the sports take, like,
you feel it.
I'm feeling it, and I'm actually like thinking about like what is going on.
Yeah.
Like, what are the Dolphins doing?
So most of the takes get like caught in the filter. You know, this one made it through.
Are you getting emotional?
This one made it through. Sorry. Are you just left my water outside?
You're getting choked up. You're getting choked up.
This take made the filter of Tina's brain.
Yes, this was like, I'm like, I care so much about this take that I had to share it with y'all. And okay. I literally text you at 6:30 this morning saying, breaking news, I have, in all caps, I have a sports take today on the Dolphins.
Were you in a workout this morning, or was this like a post run, or what was this? Why were you up so early?
This was after a 45 workout. Oh. Yep, right after a 45 workout. And I can't, when something happens, like, I have to text you guys immediately or I will forget. But yes.
My bad. I didn't mean to pump that music in there. You know what? Tina's take, since it came after an F45 workout, this is an F45 induced take. You got your blood flowing with F45, so it's going to be presented by F45. And tell us about your favorite gym before you tell us why Dolphins fans should sink into the seats of their couch.
Yes, and it's so fun because you can find out why it's my favorite gym, because this week is welcome week at F45 West Palm Beach and F45 Palm Beach Gardens. If you've never tried F45 before, it is free all week to come try a class today through Sunday. You can see why I love it so much. You can see how when I've stuck with it, like how I've seen results, the group of people I work out with, the amazing trainers. Again, if you've never done F45 before, this is the week to try it. I had an amazing workout this morning too. I left just feeling so good, broke a sweat, in and out, 45 minutes. It is my favorite spot.
Yeah.
I love starting the day that way. And again, it made me just get so pumped up and just think about this take that I'm about to give for the Dolphins. And I was like, I have to text them immediately. Just all my energy, level 10, as I texted C-Cat and y'all this morning. It's the best spot. Try it out for yourself. F45 West Palm Beach, F45 Palm Beach Gardens. Free all week. Download F45 training app to sign up. Reach out. Go on social media and see why I love it so much.
Gotta love that for F45. Gotta hate this if you're a Dolphins fan, because it's about to get serious right here. It's about to get real super locked in. We have not. That's my lock-in sound for you,
okay,
Tina, right
okay,
now.
Okay.
We have not had this much of a lead-in to a Tina football take since we've started this thing here on Theoretically Speaking. So let's go ahead and get it. Let's get that NFL Films music pumped in. Let's get the vibes going here. Tina, you watched the Dolphins lose 24-3 to the Seahawks. You watched them look listless. You watched them and their fan base, I'm sure, just fall into big deep belly aches watching the team play football. What is it that you came away from that game feeling?
You know, I didn't even watch the game. I had these feelings just from getting the ESPN notifications that Skylar Thompson was out.
Oh,
and
no.
And I am so confused with the Dolphins of the amount of money that they are putting in to the quarterback, and how the hell are you not putting it in to the offensive line? How are you not actually protecting the quarterbacks? Because I think, I'm like, is there like a curse, like a QB curse for the Dolphins? Like,
uh-oh.
What is going on that your quarterbacks keep getting hurt? Why are they not protected? And I was just like, again, I didn't even watch the game, but when I saw that notification come through my phone, I go, what is going on? Why does this keep happening?
This is, here,
hut,
let me
hut,
get that.
Hike.
There we get that. Just to close it out there, your football take right there. It's not a bad point to make that they have a offensive line that leaves much to be desired. The other side of that thing is when Skylar Thompson was playing anyways, I'm glad you didn't watch the game because your take would have been even worse. When Skylar Thompson was playing, he was bad.
Yeah.
It felt like Tim Boyle, who stepped in for Skylar Thompson, it felt like an upgrade to get him out of the game. Now, again, I hope Thompson gets healthy. I need to double check. Do we have an update on that injury, C-Cat?
I'll look now.
We'll look now. C-Cat will look now for the Skylar Thompson injury update to see if he'll be ready for next week. But yeah,
it's just like last year, he gets hurt. Like, I just feel like every 22. Season, season, the quarterback is getting hurt with the Dolphins. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I feel like this, yes, it's a position where, again, you do get hit.
Touch the ball every play.
Yes, but I'm like, this isn't common in every other team. So, like, what are we doing?
Now, the Dolphins have had their offensive line issues.
They have issues.
On these airwaves, we've had our very own Ken LaVica time after time just praying to the gods that Liam Eichenberg could no longer be in a Dolphins uniform, and that wish has not been granted yet. But what we do know is for Skylar Thompson and the Miami Dolphins going forward here, so I will say this. Last year, Tua didn't get hurt. It was 2022 yes. that he kept getting banged up in. So he survived that full year. That's what got him the contract.
Good. But it gets lost.
Yes.
How many times it's happened.
Because it keeps on happening. Yes. You keep on having these situations where he's getting hurt. He's getting thrown around. But what happened yesterday, it didn't even feel like it was that kind of situation. It felt more like, again, a team that was pressing down the stretch and he was holding the ball too long, Skylar Thompson was. And he kept getting hit. And sometimes that's a quarterback issue. Sometimes it's not a offensive line issue. Sometimes it's on the QB. C-Cat, do we have an injury update for Skylar?
I mean, not really. It's a ribs injury, and they're unsure whether or not he's going to play next week. But yeah. Tyler Huntley was signed, was in the practice squad, was not active for last week. But I think Tyler Huntley gives the Dolphins a better chance to win because I'm biased because I loved him in Utah and loved him in Baltimore.
How many quarterbacks do they have?
So
seven?
They had three. But then when Tua went down, they went out and got Tyler Huntley to the squad. So now they're back at three with Tua on IR. Tim Boyle, was he already on the squad or did they pick him up as well off the scrap heap?
I think they picked him up.
Yeah, so they went and got Tim Boyle. Hey, they have very little answers right now.
Yes.
The Miami Dolphins. And for Mike McDaniel, who just got his extension as well.
It makes me sad because I just feel like there's so much potential.
Yeah.
And just setback after setback.
It just doesn't feel, there doesn't feel to be any kind of escape right now for the Miami Dolphins. Like, they don't have, like, even when they were at full strength against the Bills on Thursday night, and this is the reason why I say, why are we rushing to get Tua back on the field? They got thoroughly outclassed by the Bills before any injuries even came up. They almost lost to the Jaguars. If you look at the Dolphins right now, they're 1-2. They're a Travis Etienne fumble away from being 0-3. Tua injury or not. They should have lost week one to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were dead to rights until ETN put them back in a game with that fumble in the red zone. Now you're sitting here at 1-2. You still feel like you have to go forward because they have a lot of veterans on this roster. They've invested a lot into this season. They can't just tank it away. But there's no reason for optimism unless it's Tyler Huntley or they trade for Bryce Young. I don't see a way out for the Dolphins, and that's why, again, I say it was a smart investment. Tua was a smart investment this offseason. It just didn't pay off because maybe you're right. Maybe they should have invested in the O-line as well.
Don't want to get too X's and O's and inside football. Tyler Huntley was the quarterback of the Ravens when they were 1 foot away of leading the Bengals by a touchdown and 2 years ago in the playoffs.
The Sam Hubbard fumble return for a touchdown that got the Bengals in.
In Cincinnati, of course, different teams, different situations. Huntley was there for a long time. This is more of a patch-up job. But I think if you see Tyler Huntley get the nod for the job, you'll have a better chance. We'll see.
He's a more dynamic quarterback. He's mobile. He can sling it around. It'll be fun to watch. I don't know what to make of this Dolphins offense. They scored 3 points in the first quarter and didn't score again. Didn't even sneak or sniff at the end zone after that. That's a very depressing team to watch these days. And they got the Titans next. Speaking of depressing.
Yeah. And we got into this conversation talking about the best additions to NFL teams in 2024.
Yeah.
And you brought up Sam Darnold and the Vikings. He was your number one addition. You said 1 year, $10 million. Too hard. It's pretty hard to find a value like that in the NFL where Sam Darnold's one of the best quarterbacks in the past 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks of the season. And you said this was the Vikings' doing and they should be applauded. I think it's more on Sam Darnold himself because you know who also is Sam Darnold's age at 27. We said Joe Burrow's older than Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
The same age as Darnold
is
Josh Rosen. Remember Rosen, who was cast aside by the Arizona Cardinals after one bad season? They redraft and go with Kyler Murray instead. He was casted aside, went to the Dolphins, went to Atlanta. You don't know where Josh Rosen is right now because he's not on an NFL roster. He has disappeared from the football landscape.
Was he the one who's like, he didn't have a jersey? And then it went like, didn't he go viral because he made that jersey or something in the...
Oh, no. That was...
You lost me. I don't know.
No, that was last year. That was Cardinals. Josh Dobbs.
Okay.
Josh Dobbs.
Hey, I had one.
Yes.
Part of the name,
that was, yeah, you're right. That was Josh Dobbs.
Oh, they weren't selling his jersey. Yes. Okay. Yes, I see.
His jersey wasn't in the team store for his family to go and get, though he was their starting quarterback. And it was partially because, yes, he was a stopgap quarterback as they were waiting for Kyler Murray to return. But he was winning. Yeah. He was balling for the Cardinals.
He certainly was.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold could have just disappeared off the face of the earth, and we wouldn't have thought two ways about it because how many times are there quarterback busts in the NFL? A lot. How many busts are there in the Jets organization? A lot. He could have been just another statistic, but Sam Darnold just kept plugging along. Things in Carolina, they were just as bad as the Jets with a little bit less hope. Never really got a chance to really sparkle with the 49ers because he had Brock Purdy ahead of him. And all of a sudden, this random situation arises where we heard earlier in the show, Bill Belichick kind of talk about how Sam Darnold's liked by teams around the area, around the league.
Everybody.
Everyone likes Sam Darnold. And he surfaced up in Minnesota. Good situation. He's making the most of it.
Situation means so much for quarterbacks. Like, it's such a... Obviously, you can elevate a poor situation. You can be a guy that is able to overcome your circumstances. But so often in the league, because there's, you know, always going to be 10 other dudes on that field and 11 other guys on the other side, and a guy coaching who picks play after play, it's a game of chess in football. Like, situation matters way more than we like to give credit to. And Sam Darnold has proven that put him in a good situation, put him in a situation where he can actually succeed, and he looks good. And you are saying any quarterback that goes to Miami right now is in for some bad luck because it feels a little cursed. I don't know. I don't know if cursed yet. They're not all the way cursed.
They're not all the way.
Yeah, it's not.
But it just, it gives me just, I have no positivity with the Dolphins.
Yeah. It's hard to.
Yeah.
It's absolutely hard to.
You would be happy with me, C-Cat, though. I wasn't watching the Dolphins game because I was watching your Ravens and the Cowboys.
Mm. Wow. So, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wait.
It was just the TV. That was what was on the TV. And I didn't change it.
So here's the thing, too. Wait, was that the same time?
It was. I was actually about to call her on that, but no, it was in the 4 o'clock window. It was in Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It was at the same time. It was at the exact same time, man. Those two games, because if you think about it, for those two games, and I really thought that the Dolphins, my one bad call for the weekend was I thought the Dolphins would cover and potentially beat the Seahawks. I thought Mike McDaniel, I probably banked a little too much on him being a good coach. And making a way with this offense, like those were two games in which it felt like coaching ended up being the differentiator, but it went opposite ways than you would expect. The Ravens with Harbaugh with his back against the wall, knowing that you had to beat a Cowboys team. I don't know if he whispered in the Todd Monken's ear and say, "Hey, you ain't gonna do all that. You're gonna run the ball a million times with Derrick Henry, and we're gonna get out of here with this win." Versus the Dolphins, who go up against a Seattle Seahawks team who, I don't know how, but your former defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, who's the head coach for the Seahawks, totally eliminated everything the Dolphins wanted to do right from the gun. And I didn't think that would be possible because of the amount of weapons the Dolphins had. They had Achan back there. They had Jeff Wilson in there. And then also Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle fully activated and ready to go. But they were invisible.
Yeah, you get to the quarterback, that kind of neutralizes and levels the entire playing field. It doesn't matter how fast Tyreek Hill is if you can't get the football to him because your quarterback, Skylar Thompson, breaks his ribs by a free blocker coming off the edge. And with the Ravens score, just want to bring this up real quick. They got an onside kick in that game. It's kind of the reason why the score was as close as it was. Yes, the defense collapsed a little bit. Dak Prescott finally learned how to throw a football in the second half, or really just in the second half of the fourth quarter. But 99 out of 100 times, Zay Flowers, he's on your hands team as a reason on the kickoff. He'll recover that onside kick. The Cowboys get one less possession, and it's a little bit less dramatic.
Yeah, a lot less dramatic. It would have been way easier to come out of there with the win, but you still got it. I have a question for both of y'all because I was a part of one of these. Are y'all how big of a fan are you of being surprised? Like big surprises?
Not a fan at all.
No, not a fan.
I like to know everything going on in my life and what's happening. Like, I don't want any surprises.
No surprises on your behalf. Not what about you, CK? Like a surprise birthday party. Are you in on that?
You know, I love that so much because I think that I'm an overthinker where I don't get surprised often about those around me. So when it does happen, oh, it makes my year.
Okay.
Seriously. Like that, the surprise of a gift, or when I say gift, it means maybe an actual material object or just a gesture. The surprise of that is better than the actual gift.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
This guy here,
like, I
respect it.
Like, yeah, like, it's, you know, someone like gets you flowers you're not expecting. Like, that's like sweet little gestures like that. Surprise party? No way.
Why not?
I just don't like that. I don't like that. All the tension's on you. Yeah. It's just like, I'm just unaware of what's going on. And I feel like I sense things. I'm like, you're being off. Like, something's off. I can tell what's going on. I'm very observant.
Yes.
And I don't like surprises.
Well, I was part of a surprise birthday party for somebody in New York yesterday. I loved the surprise part of it. I loved everything about the experience. There was one thing that I had a direct issue with, and I don't know if it says more about me or the party situation we were in. We're going to get to that when we also have our midday midterms on the other side. We also have to debut of The Last Call, which, again, is something we do here. In Happy Hour, The Last Call, your last chance to chop it with us as we have Tina and C-Cat in the house. Before we talk any of that, I got to talk championships. I don't think Sam Darnold is lifting the Vikings to a championship this year. I don't think that's happening. But boy, is he looking like a guy that can at least get them a division crown in the NFC North. They do more than just win divisions at Kaiser University, the flagship campus. They win national titles, and I'm talking about 22 of them things. That football team, the reigning NAIA national champs, they're still rolling strong under head coach Miles Russ. That women's swimming and diving team, yeah, three straight NAIA titles. And of course, you got the back-to-back national champs when it comes to men's lacrosse. That's just some of the action. There's much, much more over there with those Seahawks. They have 61 regular season and 63 conference tournament titles and the luscious Learfield Cup trophy. For all of the latest on Kaiser Seahawks Athletic, tap in with them Seahawks and hashtag DefendTheBeach by going to KUSeahawks.com. That's KUSeahawks.com. It's the midday midterms and much more when we return with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
The Dolphins are the only team in the NFL to not hold a lead for a single second. To never be in the lead for a single second. The lone lead the Dolphins did have in their one win was that Jason Sanders game-winning field goal against the Jaguars in week one, but it came as time expired. So, again, they have not played with a lead for a single second.
If you like that stat, you're going to love trivia coming up in 4 years. That's going to be your favorite. You're going to feel so smart if you like that stat.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what? That is a tease. You know what's an even bigger tease? If you like this year's Marlins, well, might I give you a little clue into 2025? Because the 2025 Marlins memberships are now on sale. That's right. You can beat your friends to those seats. Lock in priority seating locations. You can save on food, merchandise, and also gain access to exclusive member events. Marlins members, they get priority access to full tournament and country-specific packs. I mean, I know that the home games are done this year. Get ahead of it for next year at Lone Depot Park. Early bird pricing for the 2026 World Baseball Classic. Mm-hmm. You get in on that as well. And if you haven't heard, the WBC is returning to Lone Depot Park in Miami, Florida, home of the Miami Marlins. They're going to host all three rounds, ending with the championship game. So here's an opportunity to get ahead on some priority seating and maybe some WBC tickets. Marlins.com for info. Hop in at Marlins.com for info on that. That right there is that. I mean, if you don't already have your plans in place for this upcoming fall, this upcoming summer, whatnot, kicking it at Lone Depot Park has got to be great, but don't do it with another team's jersey on or Tina's going to hassle you.
Oh, yeah. I went to the Marlins game on Friday night, and I love Lone Depot Park. It's a great ballpark. But, yeah, I can't – it like, irks me when I go to sporting events and I see people wearing jerseys of the teams not playing.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You're just not a fan.
I'm just not a fan.
See, but you're saying you don't like that, but what is it doing to you? Why are you so – because I have done that. I will admittedly say I wore a Houston Astros jersey.
Yes, you text me back and you sent me a picture to confirm.
Yeah, I did it.
It's
– What is it doing to you? It disrupts your flow?
I'm just like, why are you wearing this? Like, that, they're not here.
Yeah.
Are you want attention? Do you want people to talk to you about, like, oh, you're Astros? Oh, yeah, my gosh.
It happened. Somebody else that was an Astros fan and had a jersey
y'all
on.
Y'all were cheaters. Like, whatever. Oh,
that's not fair. Well, that's not fair at all.
But I'm saying, like, what's the point? Like, if they're not playing.
I only have one baseball jersey. It's
an
Astros jersey.
You don't have to wear a baseball jersey to a baseball game.
But when else am I going
to
wear my baseball jersey?
I don't know. To the club? To the bar? On the show today?
Yeah, you're right. I could wear it on the show.
You can wear it whenever you want. Clean your house.
Yeah, in my baseball jersey.
Yeah, whenever you want. But you don't have to wear it to the game.
I mean, I did. And I felt good in it. It felt good. It felt like a good time. I was vibing. I like baseball jerseys. I just never get them off. So yeah. I'm sorry that I've disrupted you and any other Marlins fans' pride or their ability to enjoy the game. But yes, I will rock my hometown team here and there in opposing ballparks. Also with baseball, I wouldn't do it like a college football or the NFL or the NBA. But baseball stadiums, I mean, I'm just saying, like, who gonna whoop my ass? Who gonna whoop my ass?
All right. Let's.
Yeah,
no. No one's, because there's 162 regular season games, so each individual game, the emotion is not as high. It's not about who's gonna be in the stands, because I got asked a question today, walking around the halls here at ESPN West Palm, about the most annoying fan base. And I don't think you can actually judge that based on online activity. People you see on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, whatever. It's not about that. It's more about in person.
Yeah.
You go to a game at that stadium, and Yankees fans, they're not a very nice bunch of people.
Really?
I'm a Yankees fan, but when I see somebody else that is wearing an opposing jersey, it's a little tight. It's a little bit intense. Yes, at Yankee Stadium, if they go into the bleachers, and they're wearing a jersey, not even just a Red Sox jersey.
I think I saw Michelle Smallman from Unsportsmanlike rocking a Cardinals jersey at Yankee Stadium. I think I saw that.
Well, Michelle Smallman, I mean, that's national.
Different.
They got different price seats than we got than the plebes that are in the bleachers. I'll put it that way.
Is it also just because New Yorkers are just aggressive, angry, not as nice people in general?
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of, that is the answer. Yeah, they're very obnoxious, and the Goomba is what they call them, just these fans in New York that are disrespectful, and they are intoxicated, and there are a lot of fair weather, and they are that way.
So, good thing there's no New Yorkers out here in Palm Beach County that would have heard that and felt offended.
Yeah,
right?
Hey, it's coming from within. I'm a Yankees fan. I love going to the
Bronx. You're a New Yorker.
Exactly.
Do you consider yourself a New Yorker as an upstater, or do you like,
I don't do it while I'm in New York, because I'm not. I'm an upstater in New York, but outside of New York, I can commute to the city if I wanted to, an hour and a half away. So
when somebody asks you out here, like, where are you from?
I say New York, and then I go through a long-winded explanation about how I'm not in Albany. I'm not in Buffalo. You know, I'm not on the border of Canada.
Yeah.
But I'm also not in Manhattan. So it's a tough explanation.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of like when people from, like, Atlanta say they're from Atlanta, but they're from Marietta, and then they get teased, like, I don't get that one as much, because if it's a suburb of the city and it's the greater area, I'm cool with that. But like Tina, when you're outside of the state of Florida, because you're from Palm Beach County.
Yes.
Where do you tell people you're from?
I usually say West Palm.
West Palm. Okay.
Yeah, I say West Palm.
But if you're here, you'll tell people you're from?
West Palm.
West Palm still.
Technically, my address was West Palm, but I grew up in Loxahatchee.
Right.
But I say West Palm.
You're from Loxahatchee, man. You're from out there in the country, out west.
Loxahatchee.
That's what they call it. I'm rocking with you. All right, it's time for our midday midterms. Time for the midday midterms, where we assign grades to things we saw over the weekend in sports and in general. C-Cat, what's first up?
Theo, I saw you over the weekend painting and sipping, the old-fashioned paint and sip.
Yeah.
What is that? Explain it to me.
So it's where you go to a big class and everybody gets an easel and everybody gets a bunch of wine or champagne or sometimes cocktails. You sit there with your brush. They instruct you on how to paint that easel and you try and follow their orders. And I grade it I graded a D.
Oh.
I graded a D. And this is why. It's more so about my own capabilities. I got frustrated like 30 seconds into that paint sip because I couldn't do what the lady up front was doing. And yeah. I was getting so damn frustrated. I'm getting more and more drunk. And my painting came out to be like something a kindergartner would ask their parents to put on the refrigerator. I thought because I have a lot of confidence in myself, I would do something like really nice. And I think I lost a lot of confidence in that room that night. Shout out to the homie Kenya, though. Happy birthday. Happy 30th. It was a surprise party. But I give a D to paint and sips in general just because I suck at them. Tina, have you painted and sipped before?
I have a few times. I'm going to give it a B because I think it's just a fun, different activity that you get to do. And it's, at least for me, not common. Yeah. And the two times I have done it, it hasn't been a pretty portrait. I'm not Picasso.
Right.
But it turned out better than I thought. So I'm like, I'm giving it a B because I was like, oh, wow, like I at least could follow what the instructor was saying and it's not terrible. My mom hung it up in the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's not saying much. That's your mom. What's next?
It was in a hallway. No one goes down.
Up next.
Painting only a mother could love.
We're only 3 weeks in, but I want to ask you, Theo, how do you grade NCAA football conference realignment? We've seen some schools play conference games against non-traditional conference opponents. Does seeing it live and in color change any of your opinions and about your nostalgia about no longer old school conferences?
I graded a D. I don't like it still. What? A D for don't like. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't like it because it still is not, it's not the feel that I was so familiar with. And it's something that I also know is going to be changing still. So it's not like we're watching the beginning of some new traditions. We're just watching this five-year period of this weird little one-off, and I'm sure things are going to look totally different down the line. It feels super temporary, and plus the fact that Miami's playing Cal at 10:30 p.m. for a conference game that I'm probably going to miss most of because it's too late. Yeah, I don't like it.
Come on. Dude. You didn't watch USC Michigan and get excited because this game was happening because of the shifting tectonic plates of college football?
No. All right, this guy's getting real technical. He's getting real scientific with us. No, absolutely not.
So the clash of the styles, and we're going to see that every single year. Oh, I love it, man. I love it so far.
I hate it because it's not even, you know, it's temporary. Don't fool yourself into thinking this is some kind of, like, 5 years from now, there's going to be super conferences or something else weird going on that we're going to have to readapt to. This is just like a little blip on the radar, and I don't like it at all. Sucks.
Up next, I want you to grade recording yourself at the gym.
Oh.
Okay.
Tina, you start because you do this every day.
I don't record myself. Someone records me.
Wow.
But.
Yes, so Cal.
I'm going to give it an A because I think if people want to record themselves and post it and be, you know, influence or whatever, like, do it. If you like to do it, I like to also see it for progress reasons.
Yes.
Like, how am I doing? Like, do I look better? Am I doing this exercise better? Stop being such a hater, C-Cat.
All right, how about this? Posting videos of yourself at the gym.
Hey, do it.
I'll be honest, you know, that was an exceptional line saying people record me at the gym. That was a power move that I will wave the white flag. You've won this round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty good. I'll give it a B+. The fact that you're at the gym, it can't be anything lower than a B. So I'll give it a B+. I think that I'd lose respect for some people. Like some of my friends, like sometimes I'm like grown ass man. Put your damn phone away and work out.
I appreciate those influencers. They've helped me in the
tripod
past.
Away.
Yeah, like come on, bro.
It's a thing.
Like put your damn phone down and work out.
We do another set because the first set didn't come out well. You're
right.
Wearing center frame.
That's my thing too. And also you ain't post a video of you struggling with them plates. You ain't post a video of that bar coming down to your chest and you need help. Post that one. That's my problem. All right, Midday Midterms brought to you by EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. EDSisYes.com. EDSisYes.com. They are a train comfort specialist, and it's hard to stop a train. They've been doing it big since 06 in Palm Beach County, servicing our area to the fullest of the extent. It's not just one of those air conditioning and plumbing companies that you feel like, oh, I got to book them in a time of need. No, how about this? Hop online right now. EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing is EDSisYes.com. You go online, you schedule an appointment around your schedule because they are timely and they're able to go around your schedule and you can get yourself an air quality assessment. You can get locked in on a gold plan like me, and that gives you preventative care as well as repair 2 times a year. EDSisYes.com. EDSisYes.com for all of your air conditioning and plumbing needs. EDSisYes.com. And we have on the YouTube chat again, the YouTube brought to you by Prize Picks. I just want to give you this before we get our trivia in. We're hearing from Anthony. You're from Loxahatchee, not West Palm, so stop telling people that.
Technically, my address is West Palm, but whatever, Anthony.
Anthony has chimed in, and I'm going to believe Anthony when he gives us those kind of things. And yes, I did break out the linen. Had to get sexy on him. What you got, CK?
Quick trivia question. Going into break, there has only been one quarterback in the 2024 NFL football season that has thrown for 300 yards and three touchdowns. Seemingly a formality. You feel like you see that six or seven times a week on a regular season, but only one quarterback has done that at all in the entirety of the season so far. Who is that quarterback? And you'll get the answer after this.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It's that time of the year where you're trying to figure out how can I outsmart the folks on the other side, the folks in, let's just say, Vegas, trying to set you up for some plays. And the number one place that I like to kick it, that's going to be Prize Picks. It is America's number one daily fantasy sports app. With over 5 million active members, I'm going to give you some Monday night plays to put in tonight. I mean, of course, you're going to want to do this all the way through the month of September, which is running out. All you have to do is put more than one passing yard for Caleb Williams, and that gives you a win on Prize Picks every single week in the month of September. I nailed that one this past weekend. He got over 300. I'm sure 1 yard will be easy for him to do next week as well. Don't miss out on this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Prize Picks is the best way to get on sports action in most states, including Florida. And if you want to play Prize Picks alongside guys like Drewski, Joe Budden, the MMA champ, Sugar Shane, Sean O'Malley. What are we doing? When I said Sugar, I thought of Sugar Shane Mosley. Sugar Sean O'Malley, you're going to want to find the community plays under promos tab of the app and view the entries that they're putting in alongside some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community each week. Here's my plays for tonight. A couple plays that I'm locked in on. They got Ray Davis at 16.5 rushing yards. That's the backup back for the Buffalo Bills. Ray Davis has a prime opportunity to get more than about 8 or 9 carries against the Jaguars defense. I don't see the Bills playing it close with them at all. 16.5. I'm punching more on that. And then we have on the other side, Jaden Daniels rushing yards at 49.5 against the Bengals. I'm hitting more on Jaden Daniels rushing yard as well. I think he's going to make it happen on the ground against that Bengals defense when they see fit. When he sees fit, he picks his spots well. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code THEOD. And you're going to instantly get $50 when you play $5. Again, that code is THEOD. We'll pop it in the chat here on YouTube. Again, THEOD on Prize Picks. Even if you don't win, you get $50 once you play $5. That is a guarantee. Prize Picks, run your game. And for me, after a very successful weekend, both on Prize Picks and in other avenues, as I was laying some bread, I was making sure to make up some scrap because I had a bad week too. It was a good weekend for me. I'm looking forward to another one coming up, not just this Monday night, but the upcoming week. It was a bad week for Russo and Rizzo on punchline picks. At the law of averages right there. They were pounding their chest through the first 2 weeks here, C-Cat.
Screaming.
And what did y'all go, 2-5? 2-5 this week, Colin Russo?
We won the Packers, and we won Hawaii.
So they stole our Packers pick, which we gave out on the air right before them.
Way to go, guys.
Whatever.
And you won that one.
Yeah, we're stealing the picks of the guys who were 3-11. That was important to us.
Mm-hmm. You knew, law of averages.
That was important to us. Yeah.
And then they were able to get the Hawaii pick as well. We went 5-2. I believe the lead y'all have on us now is 1 in the punchline pick. So, again, the loser between, theoretically speaking, and Russo and Rizzo going to have to do stand-up comedy here at the end of the year. And now it's really up in the air. C-Cat, I thought you were tanking us at one point.
Yeah, Theo, I felt really guilty. I texted you yesterday because my picks did not do very well.
Yeah.
It went 1-2, I believe. And I said, listen, man, I think I got to take a hiatus. You might have to shoulder the entire weight and do all six picks.
No, I don't think there's anything to this. The fact that you're purposely doing poorly, because that would imply the fact that you are a good gambler, and you don't strike me as that.
I just wasn't doing well.
He just was off. He was picking
these weird
picks.
But you were telling me that this was C-Cat's purposely losing. If C-Cat was purposely losing, then he could purposely win,
He was picking some very odd games. Even like this last weekend, why would you pick USF to cover against Miami?
I had a good feeling about him. I did.
I was telling you.
Played Alabama tough?
I was telling, yeah, sure. And then look what happened. The final score still didn't even end in them covering in that game. I mean, in that one, that was the only one I was mad about this past weekend. You're right. I know. I'm not attacking you.
Us versus him.
I'm not attacking you.
A little civil war going on right now, like between theoretically speaking.
We do have to figure out how we're going to play these things going forward, though. We do have to, like, are we going to have to agree on each pick?
How about you
still go 3-3?
Together and come up with six picks as a group.
Listen, we've got a lot of things in our plate, Russo. As much as we would love to just pour over all the lines and give each game a half hour of conversation, we've got work to do.
We have a lot of work. What are you and, like, Mike just hold hands and go through the lines yourselves? Like,
First of all, it took me 3 minutes to understand that Hawaii was the easiest pick, I think, of all time. Northern Iowa flying commercial, probably through Denver to San Francisco to Honolulu.
Yeah, when do you ever fly to Hawaii for a football game? Oh, I don't know. Every single other home football game Hawaii plays?
Well, that's Hawaii, but they're at home.
Northern Iowa was the catch.
Northern Iowa was the catch. Coming off a loss at Lincoln, Nebraska, that was the easiest one I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm surprised you guys didn't tail that one.
I mean, we couldn't. Y'all told us because we gave out our picks first. And the Green Bay pick, you can see coming from a mile away as well. Y'all had the Texans, though, against those Vikings. That
didn't go
so well. Yeah, I was high
on that. I was completely wrong there. They got destroyed.
Yeah, that Brian Flores coach defense, man, Sam Darnold.
It was a Rizzo pick going Oklahoma State, which I did not buy at all.
Oh, wow. And down here for one day, he gets just sold under the river.
Crazy.
The Rizzo pick, chalk it up for a loss.
It was the Rizzo pick. I like the Toledo one. I also like Eastern Washington against San Francis, and they won that one by 36 as well. I liked Buffalo over Northern Illinois. I got shot down. That was an easy one as well.
That's the problem with this. That's what I like about Punchline Picks is that it has to be an agreement. We have to come together on these things. Well, Mike Rizzo is out. That means C-Cat is going to be in more on Russo and Rizzo today.
Hold on.
Yeah, no, he is. Yeah, he's all over that thing.
We'll see about that.
Go in love, go in peace, go enjoy. Russo and Rizzo next on ESPN 106.3.